Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Live and Let Live. At least once a year, we try to highlight kind of a right to life. And it took some doing to get here and even try to say what I'm about to say, because there was a time, at least in this country, where this would have been an absurdity. You wouldn't have even had to get up and talk about this because there was really not much to talk about. People had sex, they got pregnant, maybe somewhere if they didn't want the child, the dark places, the terrible way that abortion would go down. You'd say, well, that happened here and there every once in a while, maybe more than we think. But I don't know that anybody thought a day would come when it would just be like, wahoo. Like, yeah, it's just kind of another form of birth control, and that's just the way it is. And what seemingly should be so obvious, and we have laws that wrap themselves around these issues, that there either is a person inside of a pregnant woman or there isn't. And if a pregnant woman gets shot and the fetus dies, the baby dies inside and the woman dies, it's a double homicide. We've got all these irrational, but yet those arguments make sense. But yet it comes down to if you decide not to live and let live, but you decide to live and let die, as the old Paul McCartney song said, it simply gets down to if an individual makes that choice, all of a sudden you just decide it's not a person anymore. One of my, not fears, but when I drive through neighborhoods and there's a lot of cars on curbs and there's just a little bit of space on those streets, there's something that goes off in my mind for some reason to slow down and pay attention, because I've seen too many horror stories about little kids jumping out from behind cars into a street, catching a ball or something, and you hit it. If you ever have sat with someone who has even accidentally hit a child and killed the child, it's every day. That never goes away. That is with that person till the day they die, even if they did it unintentionally. Then you add to the equation, what if they did it? They were angry, going somewhere, and it was an accident, but they were out of control, or they were drinking, and they get sober, and then someone says, we hate to tell you this, but you were drunk, and you struck a child and killed a child. I don't know how you don't just lose your mind. It's too much to take a life. Now, I'm not a woman. I don't know what this process is internally for a woman, but I have sat with enough of you to know this, that there is something when you really get by yourself and you really start to process and you realize this is a little person that was in me, however you got pregnant. You say, well, what about rape? I get all that. However it went down, you still had to make a tough choice. And if you made that choice and you feel that angst and that pain every day, and no matter what the culture tells you, if you ever reach the point where it is a person that you have terminated, you are in trouble. You're in trouble. If you ever let it go there. And see, everybody says, well, we don't want to talk about that. We just want to talk about the choice. I want to talk to you about another choice. And it's a choice that you can make specifically as a woman. I know men are involved in this. Some men have kids they don't even know about. Some men have kids that got terminated without their knowledge. I've sat with women through the years who have told me they've had multiple abortions and have had abortions that even their husbands were not aware of. They got pregnant. They didn't tell their husband. They went and took care of it, and they just kept moving. Out of convenience or whatever it is, but they carry that stuff, and that's who ends up sitting down with me. So there's no problem. Why do these people come talk to people like me? Because they can't take it anymore. So here's another choice you can make. Choose to just simply do this. Say, God, I made a horrible mistake. once, twice, three times, whatever it is, tell him, I made a horrible mistake, and I acknowledge that it was a person inside of me. And I made a terrible mistake. I chose to terminate the life of that little child. And I own that. I acknowledge that. And now I have nowhere to go with that. So I throw myself on your mercy. And I bring my sin to the foot of your cross because someone told me that you forgive sin, that you abundantly pardon. And if I confess my sin, you'll forgive me. So you're my only stop, my last stop, my only hope, because if you can't make me clean, nothing I've tried has ever made me clean, so make me clean. Now here is what is so crazy extraordinary, is when you make that choice and you take your sin to him, that is what happens. He does indeed abundantly pardon. And I have seen women who have carried the guilt and the shame and remorse of those choices and turn it over and their entire lives be changed. And it's not that they didn't do something, it's just that it's been paid for, and in the midst of so much pain, all of a sudden peace invades their life and their soul, their heart, their mind, and they can continue living. And then God somehow, it's unbelievable, but he begins to bring good out of their tragedy. So I'm starting today with any woman here or beyond this place. I'm asking you, if you made a bad choice, to make another choice, a good choice, and take it to him. Now turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 27. And lest you think I'm making this stuff up about this God and who he is and how he processes and how he thinks, I'll just read you this. Matthew 27, and let's jump in at verse 1. And the story here, it's Jesus' life, and we're jumping in the story almost at the very end of his life on earth before he's crucified. And one of the guys that he picked, a guy named Judas, one of the guys that's following him like the rest of the 11 for these 3 years, here at the end, verse 1, when morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, in other words, that Jesus had been condemned, he betrayed him, but he didn't realize what that meant. He made a bad decision for cash, in his case, 30 pieces of silver. He was discouraged, whatever he was thinking. Jesus is talking craziness about dying, all this mess, it's about to fall apart. I'm at least gonna get a little money out of the relationship. And he had been stealing, the scripture says, kind of he was the keeper of the money and had been stealing from Jesus anyway. So he makes a deal with the people, the religious leaders who were trying to get Jesus arrested. And it says, seeing that he had been condemned, that Jesus had been condemned literally to death, he was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, and look at this that he says, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. When it hits you that you have betrayed innocent blood, it'll make you almost want to kill yourself. And look what happens. And they said, what is that to us? That's not our problem. You see to it. Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Now, listen close again. I believe this. I am trying. It has been very difficult to get here today. That's all I'm going to tell you. Because I am desperate to communicate this message with women especially, who feel like they have betrayed innocent blood. At some point, it may never go off. Maybe your conscience is just seared. You go, I'm not going to go there. But if it hits you, for some women, it almost hits them so hard, they think, I cannot live with this. I am just going to kill myself. You say, well, then do they just go out and hang themselves or shoot themselves? Some do that, maybe. But here's what I think they do more times than not. It's a slow death. You just kiss your life goodbye because you know you kissed your child's life goodbye. And there's no hope for you. Your life has no purpose, no meaning. You'll give yourself to almost any man. You lose something when you lose something like that. And what I am trying desperately to explain is that this God is a rebuilder. He is a restorer. He is a remaker of hearts and minds and lives. And he can take your catastrophes. He can take your whatever you've done. It may not even be this. It could be anything. You've got to give God a chance. He created human beings. He can recreate. He can raise the dead. And if you feel dead, literally dead, he can raise you from the dead and give you a life. Now, you say, well, why do you all hit this so hard? Because I don't even have to leave the room to be surrounded with this pain. And if you look at the numbers over the last however many decades, it's not thousands or hundreds of thousands. It's millions of children who have died, but their lives have been taken by someone. So I'm not one of these people that marches and wags their finger and is angry. I'm one of these people that wants to see live and let live be the motto, not live and let die anymore. So that's part of let's stop the killing. But the other part of this is there is just almost an inordinate, almost unbelievable amount of collective and individual pain all around us. It is affecting our country because you have individuals dealing with this. And then you have kids who grow up and they say, it's been explained to them, well, you have a choice. And what that choice is that if you get pregnant, you get to decide whether the thing in you is a person or like hitting a puppy on the street. Oh, it's terrible. I hit a puppy, but it was just a puppy, so it's okay. Well, no, I think I hit a child. No, we're not going to think of it. We hit a puppy. We're not going to talk about it as a person anymore. You killed a dog, but that's okay. You can get over that. Don't judge people. Don't walk around wagging your God finger. You are not God. Our job is to dispense, be ambassadors of mercy. And when you meet someone and they say, I made this choice, and they argue for the choice, then dispense gospel. Because if they're defending it so strongly, there's a chance they have to defend it. Because they might have made the choice they're defending. Doesn't mean that they did. And that they're in need of compassion, not more judgment, because they already know they're condemned and something terrible is wrong. You say, well, I don't feel that way and I made that choice. I get that. That may be you, but I talk to a lot of people and a lot of women that there is remorse. There is great pain. So in Judas' case, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood, and he goes out and hangs himself. It could be an immediate death or a slow death. You can choose to live and let live, but truly live. And we'll get that in just a minute. Now go to Luke chapter 23, just a couple more verses here. Luke chapter 23, same context. Jesus has now been arrested. He's about to be crucified. And let's just jump in at verse 32. Luke 23, 32. There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals. So all three get crucified. One on the right hand and one on the left. So you've got Jesus. He's no criminal. He's done nothing. He is innocent. Literally innocent. Pure God in a man innocent. Criminals on either side. Says they're criminals. They deserve to be there for something they've done. So the context is you have just been crucified. You're an innocent God-man dying for the sins of the world. And what comes out of his mouth? Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them. He's just been nailed to a cross. And what is he saying? Father, forgive them. Why? For they do not know what they do. So here's another way to approach this. It is very dangerous to try to get non-Christian people to live like Christians. You're crazy even trying this. Stop trying to get non-believers to behave like believers. You say, well, these things are wrong. They don't care. When you're just living your life, making the best of it, it's smorgasbord, kind of do whatever feels good and fix it somehow, whatever you can. So there is a tremendous amount of, it seems like stupidity, and in all of our cases, it is that as well, but it is a tremendous amount of ignorance. These soldiers, whoever Jesus is speaking to broadly, that whoever he's saying is getting him killed, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't get really what is happening here. Now, he's not saying that he doesn't want someone to crucify him, because that's why he was born. He was born to live and die and be buried and raised from the dead. So that's the deal. But he's already, before he dies on that cross, forgiving them for doing something they don't know what they do. You have to approach people and women and men in these situations understanding that they need forgiveness and they really may not even know yet what they have done because they can't even admit what they've done because they have nowhere to take it. The power of the cross is that you have somewhere to take your sin. And without the cross, there is nowhere to take it. You cannot fix your life. You cannot make your sin go away. You cannot generate peace. You cannot generate joy. Only God can give you genuine peace. Peace from God, peace with God, the peace of God, the peace of God is described in the scriptures. If you ever get that peace, I'm telling you, you'll do anything to not lose it. Because it is such an extraordinary thing to finally realize that no matter what you've done, who you are, even what you're going to do, that there is a way to reconcile yourself to God. And he is the only one who can say, not guilty, forgiven, pure, holy, blameless, chosen, adopted, all these things like in Ephesians talks about. Go to John chapter 3. And I read this, and I've never seen this, so it's fun for, you know, the Bible never gets old, so... John chapter 3, pretty familiar if you start reading it. You may even have the whole thing memorized. Maybe you've never heard it. So here we go. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night, scared to go to him during the day, and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. You have to be somebody special from God. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, meaning a physical birth, and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, it's implicit here, and you go, well, duh. Jesus said you have to be born again because you have to get born the first time. And part of this whole pro-life argument is, let's give people a shot at the first birth so they get a shot at the second birth. Just let me get born. And it's just almost preposterous to me that I'm even saying these things out loud. This the whole argument from the pro-choice side is, it's a choice, it's a choice, it's a choice. No one ever talks about the baby's choice. If it's all about choice, but see, if the baby's not a person, they really don't have a choice because they're not a person. So we don't even consider them unless we choose to consider them because that's convenient for our argument. I only found one thing in the Bible where Jesus said it would be better that someone had not been born. Now, you may have days, and I had some days a long time ago, where I wished I had never maybe been born because it just didn't make sense. You know what? I don't feel that way. I thought about killing myself. I didn't kill myself. I thought about not being born. I'm glad I got a chance to be born, and I'm glad I didn't choose to kill myself because I'm alive and things are finally making more and more sense. And the promise to me is because I've done things his way, the deal his way, let him love me, confess my sin, let him forgive me, trust him completely. I have the guarantee of a place in heaven with God forever, not because I'm some good person, but because he's a good God and I responded to his goodness and to his grace. So you say, well, I wish I'd never been born. I can give you a reason to be glad you got born. Get born again. And the being born will make a lot more sense. It's the second birth that fixes the first birth. Amen. No matter how bad that was. I saw a deal, kind of those, I love those nature shows and Rush, Wild Russia, all this crazy thing. I like seeing stuff like that. And there was a sea turtle one. And the sea turtles swim to their place and they, you know, crawl across the sand and dig a hole and plop, 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 drop all those eggs. You're like, then you wait however long and out of the sand come these tiny little just inches long sea turtles and they're making a dash for the beach. And I think the number is like 1 in 1,000 survive. And I watch those little sea turtles. And you think they have this instinct to live. They get hatched and they're running. They just point it toward the ocean and they fall over stuff and right themselves. And they're just, you know, just going to the ocean. And then the camera pulls back and, you know, here come the birds. And you're like, oh, no. You know, you feel bad for the turtles. And it all starts adding up, and you're like, oh, the birds have been waiting for the bird. You know, the sea turtles are hatching. It's a feast. Just let them live. So you say, well, that's just nature. Let me tell you something.
nature is not us killing our own people. That is not nature. It's not part of it, oh, survival of the fittest. Let's wipe out unborn children. And, I read articles about doctors pushing on parents saying, oh, we've done the sonogram. We look, see the face down syndrome child. Abort, abort, abort. I'll prescribe you antidepressants. You know, pushing, pushing. You don't want to have this problem child. Because we only want nice children, healthy children. We don't want you to have any problems. So we get rid of problem pregnancies. We get rid of problem persons. And this is where people don't put these dots together. You say, well, but that's just the way it is. And then all of a sudden we're going to clean out the nursing homes because this person's not with us really anymore. And they got Alzheimer's, and we're going to cut costs. And so if you can do it on one end, you can reach to the other end. And then it starts getting nuts. And we go, how did this happen? Because no one would speak anymore and say, no matter how many people say it's right, sometimes even if billions of people say something is right, it's still wrong. Now, I know this. I'm trying to keep my voice down. I'm not getting animated too much. You know, I made some bird sound. That's about it. I know some of you are going to walk out of here and you're already all fidgety and upset, and I don't agree with that. Don't try to agree with me. Your problem is not agreeing with me or this church. Your problem is whether you agreeing with God. You need to have a conversation with God. You need to read your Bible, talk to him, and say, okay, I'm in process. If I'm off base, your fight's not with me. I'm just trying to tell you what I believe and what I read. If you can find something different, knock yourself out. But ultimately, one day, you have to answer to him about the choices you've made. And if it was live, you live, and let die, that's your choice. You better have an answer for that too. My suggestion is, let's just go with live and let live. It makes a lot more sense.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. Or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
Here's one more verse I'll quote you out of John chapter 10:10, and I use this one a lot. The thief does not come except for to steal, kill, and destroy. And then Jesus said, but I am come that you might have life. And then he added, not just life, but have it more abundantly. And if you look up this word more abundantly, it means super abundant in quantity or superior in quality. By implication, excessive, abundantly above, more abundantly, advantage, exceedingly, very highly, beyond measure, more, superfluous, vehemently. It's this word that means way more, that bigger than you ever dreamed. You say, well, I'm alive, I got a life. Being born the first time gets you alive. Being born the second time gives you life, abundant life. Now, lest anybody be discouraged, in this room, if you're listening beyond here and you came to this room, starting with me, there's nothing but screw-ups, right? And for some of you, you go, well, I don't believe this, but you're still listening. I'm asking you to use your brain and your heart and process not what the culture's telling you. Ask God what he thinks about you, about your choices, and about choices that he made on your behalf. And just get in on the deal. It's a crazy deal. I think more and more about dying for some reason. The older I get, I have this unbelievable promise and peace. I tried to describe it a minute ago. I literally know that I could be walking through my day, no matter what I've done, no matter what I've been, what I could be accused of. I can walk through my day. My heart beats in this step. I take one more step. And my little old heart could stop beating
and I could drop to the ground and die, and just like that, I will be in heaven with Jesus. And you say, well, good for you, dude. You know what? Really good for me, really bad for you if you don't know that. Because some people drop and keep falling.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.